It's time for Adviceline. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Good evening, everyone. I enjoyed the debate in the sense that Romney followed the principles I talk about in dealing with an adversary, assuming that, you know, this, he's the adversary. And that he didn't become aggressive. He waited for the aggressor. And a gracious person should always wait for the aggressor to make his first move. And then the next move is not to be moved, but not to react, and foil or frustrate the assault, mentally, emotionally, or physically. And I'm suggesting, ladies and gentlemen, that it's a very good example of, right in front of your nose, of how to deal with difficult situations. Stay calm, under pressure. And if you do that, you will save your life, you will save your country, save your children, save your health. And we're going to talk about these things. It's one thing to say to you, you know, stay calm under pressure. And there's no way in the world you can do that, except you have something called grace. We're going to talk about that. Then I want to talk to you about the dangers that lie ahead for all of you and things I've warned you about over the years, as long as you've listened, as long as my friends have supported me and listened and read my books and listened to my programs from time to time. You don't have to listen to it every day, because you should be listening to yourself as I listen to my own self, in the sense, the self within all of us that's unselfish, that loves us. And as long as you have that, you don't need me. You don't need your preacher. You don't need your drink. You don't need your rabbi. You don't need your anything. Because we're all one with God. In other words, Jesus said it, and I love the way he said it. You know, in him, he didn't come to bring a religion. He didn't come to bring a new one. He came to save you from religion. And that's what I'm trying to do. Save you from the need for someone to teach you about everything, so it takes you your whole life to go to church and to not understand anything, really. But every now and then a person gets it. But for the most part, the people who get it feel tired of waiting. You know, week after week, year after year, you're learning this and learning that by rote. That's not the way it should work. And so in these last days, I'm here to help you find the grace Mitt Romney, he demonstrated grace under fire. That is a beautiful thing. Now, the adversary does not like this. The audience that was watching that does not have grace, but are used to being bullied or used to bullying. Those are the kinds of people are used to being bullied, and therefore they always tend to fear and have a phony respect for the bully, and therefore would see it differently from you and me. So this is what the program would be about. I want to talk to you about dangers lie ahead, and I'll come to that very slowly, because I know things, and I know how to help you to deal with the dangers that lie ahead. There's something about in the scripture, I haven't looked it up, but I do from memory. It is sort of tribulation breeds, what word is I'm looking for? But it breeds patience. Patience breeds courage, and courage breeds hope. Yes! See, yes. So, well, how can you be patient under fire, where you do not move, where the adversary, it could be your wife, your children, that's the meaning I mean by adversary, doesn't have to be a dangerous person, although it includes dangerous people. It's much more effective with dangerous people. It means more noticeable. And I can explain to you all the little sort of details if you want to. But you know that you can say the word, like sing the song at least, make the world go away. But this is not how we, you know, should feel, but how we felt at one time or another. But we just wish we could close the door on our problems and pressures of everyday life and pretend for a moment it doesn't exist, but it does. And it's better if you learn to deal with what exists and leave with it, because that's how you develop character. So you could add character to that list. See, tribulation, trial and tribulation. You know, patient endurance, character, courage, hope. That's the magic. It's what we deal with tonight.
Between the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. West Coast time.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you, but if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, good evening again. If you will indulge me, please, with all my faults and failures, such as they are visible, I will be able to save your life. I will be instrumental in saving your life and perhaps America. And I want to tell you something, but it's not time. It's very close to time for me to tell you, you know, what you need to do to save your life. And well, first of all, to save your life, your life isn't worth anything if you don't save your life or have you be saved from life. There's another way of saying it. You need to be saved from this life. You have to find, you're going to come head to head. You're going to come out of your new norm where everything's calm and reasonably calm, where you drink and get rid of your problems by drinking and drugging and going along to get along. This is not a way to live. You had adversaries all around you, and you've created those adversaries. You've given power to those adversaries by going along to get along, or even getting angry and upset and be feeling guilty and going along to get along, or making others upset with you and make them afraid of you and go along with you and get along with you and help you to embolden you, like we embolden our enemies when we are reacting to them. And so I want to help you to save yourself from yourself first. This is hard to say. This is difficult to say. When I say you have to deal with tribulation, trial and tribulation, whether it's, you know, domestic or foreign, it could be anything. Whatever it is, that must be part of your makeup. And until you can find that, what is coming down the pike will terrify you. I see the future. I have reason. I've told you about the future in all my books, in all my radio programs, and I predicted the moment that is about to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to, first of all, tell you to be prepared for what is about to happen, because you are living in a bubble. Each one of you have a little bubble, whether you drink bubble, whether you give in to people bubble, whether you eat and be merry and fill yourself with, you know, making nice cookies and pastries, eating the forbidden fruit and all the kind of things, and having all the sex you want and getting involved with music and stuff. You're all living in a bubble. And it's all going to come crashing down. You have an abnormal norm. It's the new norm. Now, I want to tell you a little story, and then I want to then I'll take my calls. But I just want to set you up. You've got to find how to deal with stress, because it's the root of everything that's wrong with you, your family, the reason for all your illnesses, all your political problems. The world is going to hell because you do not know how to deal with the pressure, and you're always hiding and running and looking for security and relief and pain, and always worrying about your ulcers and this and that, and listening to music and burying yourself in everything. So you tend to think you're okay. You feel good. You're looking for feeling it. The feelings lie to you. We'll go into that. I want to tell you a little story about, you know, the new normalcy, or what you think of as the normal. Have you ever heard of the Battle of Bull Run? I'm getting a little history for one of my sons. And I'm an Englishman, you know, converted to become an American citizen. But, you know, I don't know all the history, but he is a history buff, so he shares some nice stories to me about America, and how we've always sort of survived by the skin of our teeth throughout the establishment of this country from the very beginning. But it's as if God was watching out for us, and I hope he is now. I think he is. But the Battle of Bull Run, so my son said, is fascinating. He said the Confederates and the Union were expected to make peace. And everybody there, right in front of the Capitol building, I believe it was, if I'm not correctly, right there in Washington, the people came out to have a picnic. And so thousands of people were celebrating peace. So it's everybody think, and everybody expected everything to be normal. Everybody expected, you know, the Union and the Confederates to shake hands. And so, but without warning, the Confederates charged. And the citizens who were having a picnic were in the way. And they pushed the people back against the Union soldiers, and it was a catastrophe. Thousands of citizens died, and the Union was devastated. And that's because they expected everything to be what they thought it would be. And that's what's going to happen to you. You are going to have a big surprise one day, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it if you don't understand a little bit ahead of the curve. And the head of the curve, right now, the best I can do is get your friends together, listen to this program, and let me show you how to deal with pressure. You can learn this in minutes. 800-866-8883. It doesn't take your lifetime of going to church to learn to find what grace is. You just have to be ready to receive it. And you have to know where to go. It's not a place. It's not a place as you think, like the Battle of Bull Run is a better way you thought you were going to get peace, and you're not. So you can't find any place on earth where you're going to find peace. There's always evil lurking. Something's gone wrong. Something you have to learn to deal with dignity. Because the whole of life is shaping of character, mental, emotional, and physical health. The effect that you have on the world, rather than the world having an effect on you. You becoming the cause of the effect, rather than you becoming the effect of their causes. Evil causes. And so this is essential. You can't panic. And now you say, well, it's easy to say, I'm just a person. We're animals. We're human. We're flesh and blood. No, you have something that animals do not have, a direct relationship with your Creator. The reason why I know, because I've created a CD called Coping Strategies for the Military. And it's called, it has a section in it called Be Still and Know, which is the main aspect of how you find it within you. And you can find it within you in a matter of minutes or seconds. And then something is there that cannot be moved, that is a mover. Yourself unmoved. God is a mover, himself unmoved. If you go to all the causes and effects, like effect becoming a cause, and cause becoming, you know, the cause becoming effect, and the effect becoming the cause of the next effect, and so on. And then there's also motion and rest. So there's something about rest, which is something slower, it seems at rest, like, for instance, the moon, or the orbit, the orbiter, the what do they call it, the orbit, the space orbiter, what do they give it a name? Space station, yeah, thank you. I'm losing a word there once in a while. The space station, if you look at the space station without the Earth, without any background, and you see the astronauts doing work, going around it, the space station is going 17,000 miles per hour. But it doesn't look like it's... Or because you're only seeing that, then it looks like it's perfectly still, and it's only still because the movement of the astronauts working around it give it the illusion of stillness. They're all moving, but one's a slower moving stillness. One's a slower moving, but it's stiller. And so if you go back all the way back to something more still, more still, more still, it's, go all the way back down to the subatomic particles and beyond, the same relation exists to a stillness, and, you know, an uncaused cause. You see, the stillness that causes all the other causes of motions and rest. The mover himself, unmoved. See, so when you find the mover within yourself unmoved, then you have his power to move objects, to create. But if you yourself are the effect of a cause, then you got it backwards. And so therefore you suffer conflict because you are responding and being shaped by the forces of evolution. Yet like animals. And human beings do not evolve under pressure like that. That kind of pressure devolves you away from involving, becoming an evolved, the mover, the unmoved mover moving you, and therefore moving others. But if you don't have that, you are moved, and you, as you are moved, you're moved away from your core. And therefore you have conflict, you fall into the evolutionary process, which is downward transcending. That's another word that I don't pronounce properly. But downward translation, downward. And so that's where your conflict lies, because you're responding to a wrong source and being shaped by the external world, not being shaped by the internal world, by through the trials and tribulation where you become patiently enduring. See? And then you have courage and character and faith. That's where it comes. And so you need that, otherwise you as a nation will be washed away. Because you're all running nearly all over the place, reacting, and all you have is doctors and psychiatrists and drink and drug, and there are plenty of those who rise to the occasion of your needs that will comfort you there and keep you stuck there. And rise to the occasion, the person that loves you, the person that gives you a sense of worth, whether it's political or personal, is not your friend. Don't you understand that? A person who has as much trouble as you are, rising to the occasion of your need. And so we are a system of slaves rising to the occasion of each other's need, or creating a reaction in each other, and then turning around and doing what was done to you to do it unto others. So we are a nation of crisis. And in this crisis, we all have our little reassurances, our little securities, whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex or fantasy, whatever it is, gambling, it could be anything, music. It could be everything called escape. Escape from what? All right, now we're going to take some calls. 800-866-8883. And let's begin our program. And sometime this week or so, I will try to give you a hint of what to expect. I have warned you at least one time that, and pay attention, that doesn't matter who wins this election, doesn't matter who wins it, the last 60 days will all hell will break loose. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know it, but I know it for real. There's a 98% chance that it's true. And you can only just search your mind and ask yourself, why would I say such a thing? Come see if you can come to your own conclusion about this. Why I'm so sure. And then what do you do about it? Panic? No. There is a, you know, the first thing you have to learn is, oh my God, it's true. And then the panic sets in. Ah, it's not going to happen. Denial. You see, that's the danger. And you start to pig out or smoke or dope or whatever it is. You've got to take your various drugs to alleviate your anxiety. You don't want to alleviate your anxiety. You want to experience it. You don't want to alleviate your fear. You need to look at it and say, just look at it. And I'll talk to you about this in just a few minutes. Number is 800-866-8883. Now let's talk to is it Danielle? Hello, Danielle. What can I do for you?
Hi, Roy.
Yes.
I had talked to you a few weeks ago, and I had started, you sent me the CD on the Be Still and Know, and I've been doing the meditation.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good with that. I have been doing that for a while now, and I just started seeing, it was like everything that I've been listening to talk about, I just started seeing everything. I just see all the resentment and anger, and that I've just been living.
How about the judgments?
And the judgments. I've been judging everyone on the planet just my whole life, and I just see it. And I'm just, as I go through the meditation, so I just see more and more and more, and it just kind of.
You know that what resentment projections are, those judgments are projections of your faults onto other people.
Yeah.
And that's how you have a leader that rises and helps you to do that. Like what's the name, Reverend Wright. That's what he does for a living.
Mm-hmm.
He gives people, he rises the occasion of these losers, when I say they're all losers, as you are. You know what I mean? You're not anymore, but because you're beginning to see it. But he makes sure they don't see it, and he feeds people to them so they can judge. Jews, anybody, Christians, anybody feeds them.
I just started seeing how, not only how angry I've been, but just how full of, you know, how I was doing it out of my own, really just my own insecurities and fears and, you name it, just pride.
But do you see how much harm you do to people when you project?
Yeah.
And you project your guilt.
Because I'm afraid they're judging me. And
yes. Yeah. And they will be. And they will be judging you.
Yeah,
you judge them and they judge you.
Absolutely. And I just see my life and how I've just created a situation where I've just isolated myself because I thought it's with all this pride and arrogance, like, I don't need them. Who needs them? You know,
but you're missing the actual tribulation you need to grow.
Yeah.
See, retreating into some kind of Shangri-La place where you are, you don't have to experience any stress.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of ways of not dealing with stress.
Yeah.
And so those are mental illnesses.
Yeah.
And they're physical illnesses. And then people rise with medicine and contraptions and drugs and to help you feel secure and not feel the pain of your conflict with God.
Yes.
See that?
Yeah, and that's why I was calling tonight to ask. I just ask if you can help me with what I
can. I can. I see the question. I see the question.
Okay.
And the question is called, you feel fear. Uh-huh. Anxiety during meditation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, not doing it. I'm when I'm doing it, it's great.
But
and
when you come out,
I
of
notice
it.
When I come out of it, I feel tremendous. I have more. Like I've had increased anxiety now.
The whole idea of meditation is to stand back from what you were running from, and confront it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first place you confront it is within yourself, your own thoughts.
Yeah.
and your own disconnection from God,
mm-hmm.
which gives rise to the anxiety.
Yeah.
And so don't be afraid to look at the anxiety and say, oh, I can't do anything about this. And the light will give you, in wordless words, it will tell you, and you will know to obey it. Because if you have ego or pride in you, it will tell you otherwise. It will say, you know, you've got to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worst thing you can do. What you need to do is, after meditation, you really need to stay in that state to a degree. The whole idea is to keep you in that state. So when you're in that state, you experience those fears and anxieties. And you see the thoughts, and you just watch them, and you face them. And it will call to you to make you want to make it go away. It's so painful.
Mm-hmm.
But bear the pain without resenting the pain. Watch it. And so to not be tempted to struggle with it because you get in the way of God doing it. The pain you are feeling is not yours, but the thing that has made a home in you through all that. It is suffering. It has the anxiety. You don't, because you are entangled with another identity.
Mm.
That's the feeling it has when you start looking at it. Mm. And when you morph into it, when you submerge into it, you are running away from God, and you're finding comfort in your anxieties.
Mm.
So they go away. You become one with them. It's only when you are disconnected and looking at them, that's when you feel them. But it's not your anxiety. It's the dark side that's been growing inside you that invites you back in again so that you don't feel the presence of God that produces the conflict. You need that conflict. You need to look at that conflict, because there are going to be other conflicts that are going to come up that are really real. But the degree that you start with those yourself, you have to start with that which is within you. Paradise was lost within the mind. Paradise must be fought back in the mind. You must begin with that first. And you will see, if you just bear the pain of watching it, it will go away.
Okay.
Don't say, when it's going away, I can't stand this. No.
Yeah.
Don't. No, don't. Because you've got to be careful that isn't forever. You're a spiritual person.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be that way, to die to that forever, because when you lose your body and when you lose your emotions and the sense of feeling where you can escape,
mm-hmm.
Then you will feel that forever.
Yeah,
that's called hell when you die.
Yeah.
When the body falls away, then all the cover falls away.
Mm-hmm.
Flesh falls away. The feelings fall away. And there you're left with agony eternal.
Yeah.
So you need to deal with it while you're still alive. Bear it. Look, close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anxiety now?
No.
Okay, why is that?
I don't know, probably because I feel like every time I close my eyes now, it puts me straight into a meditative state.
But now open your eyes and stay there.
Okay.
You don't have to keep your eyes. Now stay there. You're in that state again. You're still in that state. Just because you open your eyes does not mean to say you're out of that state. You need to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can face your anxieties that way.
Mm.
That's how you do it.
Okay.
Try it. You'll like it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
God bless you. Just say to you, understand that of yourself you could do nothing, and when you know that, you will not be tempted to try to save yourself from pain. All right. I've lived with pain all my life. I have agony now. But the more I work, it's pain. Day and night never stops. I'm all right with it. It's a companion because they're physical. It's the things I can't do anything about. But it makes me aware of my mortality. And I'm grateful for being alive and strong for it. Thank you. You know, I'm very grateful. All of a sudden, there's a flurry of business, meaning gracious donations. I signed quite a few. It took me about an hour or so to write some thank you notes. And, you know, they started from $7,500 all the way down to $200, but many were way in between that. And I've been looking for people to give me a soapbox, and I spend so much time helping people, I don't spend enough time asking for money. And, you know, many people get so much help so quickly that it's like going to a doctor and getting a quick fix, and you pay the doctor one time, and you know, you don't think of the doctor anymore, or should you? But my work is different. My work is spiritual, and I know how to help people very quickly. You know, some people take a long time. Some people have taken 40 years, but they stay with it, and I stay with them. But it's coming to the time right now where terrible things are about to happen. And you're going to wake up one morning and everything's gone. And it's not normal anymore. That's all I can tell you. It's very soon. And you can always think of the last 60 days, no matter which candidate wins, it doesn't make any difference. It's something has to happen. There is no choice about it happening. That's all I can tell you. Nothing more. Why I know, none of your business. But if you love me and trust me, you know I'm speaking something I can't tell you. That's all. You believe me? And they say, what do I do about that? I know what to do, but you're going to have to, you will intuitively know what to do if what I'm saying is true. Intuitive, I don't have to tell you. If what I'm saying is true, you must intuitively make a move, something. And let it suggest itself. Okay, that's all right now. But meanwhile, let me stay in the business of saving people from themselves and from the world. Because it's all, your whole world is just a mirage, a bubble. You have your own, everybody has their own little bubble, own little securities. There's no such thing as security. There's no such thing as anyone giving you security. It doesn't. You'll become more insecure the more someone gives you security, because what God gives, them being God, God can take away being them. See? Please. Continue supporting my work. On another note, it took a week for my employees to tell me that one evening when I was doing something, saying something very important politically, a comedian came in for 40 minutes one night and made a lot of jokes, and I didn't know about it. And it was because of the provider of the program. It's not talk radio. It's an organization. It's Dar Global. We have to use their satellite system. And somebody meddled with it there. And people have been meddling with my program, so you don't hear some things, maybe sometimes. Please call me. Let me know sometime, would you? Thank you very much. I'm Roy Masters. We'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, I dropped a lot of papers on the floor, and I have to reshuffle myself too. Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the program. I do hope you are getting some meaning, a message from my discussion today. The number is 1-800-866-8883. Now, we got a call from two calls from back east. One's in Pennsylvania, want to lose 400 pounds. Please hold, because I want to talk to David in Massachusetts, and one's in Pennsylvania, because it relates to stress. And then I will go to the next related stress question, who wants to lose 400 pounds. It's a question of stress. Please ask Joseph to hang in there while I dilly-dally with my friend here, David. Hello, David.
Hi, good evening, Roy. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. So I've been listening to your show for the past year or so, thanks to my dad. I've been trying to practice the meditation, but a little while back, several months ago, I did something stupid. I thought out of pride that it'd be a good idea to fight the stress instead of let it go.
No, you can't do that. It'll kill you.
I know. And
you have no power. You have no... There's a side of you that thinks you can really become a big, strong guy by fighting it. You can't. You become strong like an animal if you are. If you're strong like an animal, you're still less of a human being.
Yes.
See?
I was wondering if you could help me, because I've gotten a little spooked over the past couple of days.
Well, see, am I right in saying you don't know how to stop struggling?
Yes.
You see, that's you get tangled up. It's now you become addicted to struggling. So you become a slave of your own struggle.
Yes.
And the product of that struggle requires you to struggle again. It's a vicious cycle, isn't it?
It is.
Now close your eyes for a minute.
Okay.
And I may be able to help you here a little bit. I want you to put the phone in your left ear, if it's not already there.
It is there.
Okay, good. And are you sitting down, please? Okay, and put your right hand by your side.
It is.
And it's a very simple thing. Close your eyes and look at your eyelids. And I just want to know if you know what I'm talking about when I say that. What do you see? See, I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm closing my eyes, and I'm exactly like you are. I'm looking at my eyelids, and I see a little light flittering across the screen of my mind. I see no thought. I can hear myself talking. I can actually see my hands. I'm talking with my hands right now. And I can see the movement of my hands even though my eyes are closed. Can you? If you move your hands, see if you can see your hand moving around. It's like a kind of phantom. Can you see that? Move your hand in front of you, round and round, and behind you. You can see an outline of your hand as you move it, can't you?
I do.
You know what that is? That's your spiritual hand.
Okay.
Your mind's eye can see it. That's who you are. And who you are is looking at the flesh part of you. You're looking at your eyes with a different set of eyes, a spiritual set of eyes. That's why you can see the surface of your head. The surface of your brain is what you're looking at. You're outside your thinking. That's why your thinking is not there. You've left it behind. Your thinking is a piece of machinery, like an animal. But you could be in control of it if you could just stand back from it and look at your thoughts. And examine the thoughts as they come by the screen of your mind, not be lost in it, struggling with it, or being seduced by your thoughts, like sex thoughts, and being lost in your fantasies. If you're like that, struggling that way, one way or the other, enjoying your thoughts, being seduced into them through some kind of pleasure, and revenge could be, sensual feelings, like thinking of something that's pleasurable, a scene like
what's that noise? I'm sorry, Roy. I live right next to a train.
Oh, all right. Well, let's start again then. See,
okay.
I was just explaining something, that's all. Now, let's close your eyes and just, that's easy enough to do, and look at your eyelids, and you're in that state. If you just look at your eyelids and see no thought except little pixels of light moving across the screen of your mind, you have that, right?
I'm having some trouble keeping my eyes closed. They're almost like opening.
They're rebelling, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. You see, what's happening is you're losing control of your physical body. You must have had a real wild ride there. With you struggling with your emotions and your in the stress, it's not possible to control your own emotions by effort, only by grace. That's the only way. In other words, something not of this world fights something something of this world is at war with something that is not of this world. See, what I'm talking to you about. Now, you need to get a place where there's no train.
Okay.
Can you call me back?
I can.
Okay, good. Call me back.
All right.
And when I'll work with you. I'll show you what to do. All right, now we're going to go to my friend. Look, if I don't know, you don't have to be afraid of me. I'll tell you what you need to be more afraid of is yourself. But you think of yourself. It's very hard to believe that you're not you. You're not really you. Nobody is who they think they are. Are you, really? There's another you. There's two different yous. One is the not you, is that dark self that thinks through you and wants things through you, and something that makes you feel like you, alive, but is not. It's only a feeling of being alive, which is a lie. So you've got to be careful of your feelings and other people who make you feel angry or happy. You've got to be careful of both of those. And you say, then something will say to you, this guy's crazy. I'm not. The whole idea is to learn to neutralize those who want to pull on your feelings to make you angry or then make you feel better, because if your anger makes you guilty, take the guilt away. But I tell you, there's another you within you. If you close your eyes and look at your thoughts, then there's a light shining through those through that inner eye that's looking at your forehead. Close your eyes and look at your eyelids. And the minute you do that, you see light. If you see darkness, you're in serious trouble. If you see black, that's trouble, but it's not insurmountable. If you see that light, you have hope of salvation. That's all I'm going to tell you for now. Okay, Joseph in Pennsylvania. Hello, Joseph. What can I do for you?
Yes, sir. I'm 6'2 and a half height, 570 pounds. And,
yes.
I called to figure out why I'm eating for so much thrills.
Because you're a very emotional person, and you feel very empty. Every time you become upset, you are at war with yourself, an emptiness. You lose something of yourself. You lose something of yourself to the stress when you're upset. And so that loss has a something that's physically equivalent. The emptiness feels like you're hungry. You're not really hungry, but you're hungry for love, something that's spiritually substantial. And so, but you don't know what you've lost, so it will talk to you and say, you're hungry. And when you start to eat, then you will feel the pleasure of that fulfillment. But you're fooling yourself. The more you eat, the more you look at food and the giver of that food as the savior. That you got the wrong God. Something rises to the occasion of your need and says, eat me. And you yield to that. It gives you the idea that you will be fulfilled. But it can never fulfill you. It can only make you more guilty. Now, do you have any... Are you sitting in your kitchen?
I can't walk. I'm so heavy, I can't walk in the kitchen.
You can't walk. Is there any food next to you?
Well, I just ate like a half hour ago, a whole bunch of junk food and stuff.
You did junk food, huh?
Well, pickles and a bunch of meat and chips.
I know. Could you help me see now? Wait just a few minutes. Don't go away. Are you willing to do the little experiment with me that I was about to do with a young man who was struggling with his
meditation?
Have you been on the meditation?
Oh, yeah, I've been doing it for like 20 years, but I just...
Oh, no, you're not getting anywhere. You're caught up with me.
Oh,
you got me as your savior. You got me as your savior and food as your savior.
See, I grew up fatherless, and I just...
You made me your father. You got me on a pedestal, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, you've actually ruined yourself.
Yeah,
the worst thing you can do is to put me on a pedestal and make me your savior. It's just as bad, if not worse, because I'm the one that can save you, help save you. I can be instrumental, but your food cannot. So the very person that can help to save you, you've made into a god by putting me on a pedestal. And you expect something from me, and I can't give it to you, and deep down inside you will resent me. I bet you resent me all these years for not being able to save you.
I guarantee you. Myself, though.
No, you turned it towards yourself. Yeah. What happens is you're dangerous for committing suicide if you turn that towards yourself. Have I had those thoughts?
Real emotionally sick, yeah,
I know. So I tell you what. Would you mind waiting for a few minutes while we make a break here? Okay, Joseph, please, please take me off that pedestal. I can't help you. If I give you instructions, you know, let me put it this way. I want you to just put the phone down and hear me say you're a bad guy, a bad boy, because you've done the wrong thing. You've made me into a god. And so that you cling to me with the hope of me saving you, and you disqualify yourself by that very process, and you're back to food again. And you know I'm saying the right thing, so there's something inside you that makes you resent me, because you're setting me up to fail you. As you resented your failing father, didn't you? So you set me up to play the same role, so it gives you excuse to eat more. It's a dynamic. It is a...
I'll tell you what else, everything else is getting worse too, and
Of course.
One leads to another now.
No, you're going to die from this.
Yeah.
You are going to die. It's very simple. There's nobody going to be able to serve you. They give you new kidneys, whatever they do. It's going to ride to the occasion of your need, and you're going to be eating, and as they're putting you on the dialysis, you're going to be eating all the wrong foods anyway.
I don't think I'll make it to that. I feel dumb as dead now. I just feel hollow and
I know.
Junky.
But the food does not make you full. It makes you a fool that's filled. See? Don't you see that,
yeah,
Joseph?
Sometimes I come aware and see that something's making me overeat and it's not me.
It
stops there a little bit.
I know. If you can see that what makes you want things and what makes you think that you want is not you, if you can step back from yourself and stop wallowing in me and your food, you'll do some good for yourself. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You know, I was opened the program by saying, you know, we often think of that song, you know, Make the World Go Away. I think you may have heard it before, but we all felt that way at one time or another, but the world won't go away. And the only way you can do it is keep it at bay in a very special way. But of yourself, you cannot do it. There's no human being on earth that can give themselves courage or grace. And if anybody would like to challenge me on that, I would show you, I would welcome that opportunity, not as a fight of any kind, but I would be happy to show you why you'd be wrong. You cannot make yourself brave. It's a gift. That gift can come suddenly that you didn't know it was there when you run into a forest for or a house to save a dog or a little kid, and you don't even notice you ran through the fire and all the rest of it, and you think nothing of it. And so, therefore, something triggers that you had, that you didn't know. It's almost like an impulse, but an impulse that comes from a different side of the force. The impulse that makes you angry and do something brave or, you know, silly. Yeah, you can actually be in the army and get really angry. You see your brother being blown to pieces and then take down 20 or 30 enemy soldiers in a fit of anger and machine gun fire, and then get some kind of medal for it. And the medal rewards the angry behavior. And then that's causes post-traumatic stress disorder. That will actually reward people cheering you and seeing you as a hero when the motivation was anger. That's the kind of anger that can make you brave. But there's another kind of energy that just does it because you don't want to see your friends being murdered, like Sergeant York. Typical. See that? Just like that. He was not angry. He didn't want to kill the enemy. He just wanted to save his friends. It's different reasoning. I'm using that opportunity because I've seen that movie several times. It's beautiful. So go to my website and get a copy of Be Still and Know, please. And support my program with your tax-deductible donations. Okay, my name's Roy Masters, 800-866-8883.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, I will. Yeah, Joseph, I forgot. I was told you I could just wait. Look, Joseph, look, close your eyes.
Okay.
Now, what do you see when you close your eyes? This is such a simple question. And I know nearly everybody on Earth has closed their eyes and suddenly discovered that they're looking at their eyelids. And so that's really weird. And then suddenly they feel their own existence. Now, let everybody listening to me, would you just do that, please? And don't be afraid. I'm not going to bite you. I'm not going to hypnotize you. You're already hypnotized. If you can't do that, then you are hypnotized. If you can do that, you can snap out of it because you become aware of your existence. Now, Joseph, what do you see when you look at your eyelids?
I just see a white light and some darkness.
Yeah, do you see pixels moving across the screen of your mind, just like little flashes of color and light, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, like a TV without.
Yeah, like a TV without any picture on. It's like white noise, right?
Yeah.
It's like a frying white noise, but that, you know what that is? Would you like me to tell you what it is? That's your programming, if you'd let it through. That's your new program from heaven, from within you. Because the minute you look at your eyelids, you're no longer looking with your eyes, you're looking through your eyes when you open them. Now, if you will look at those lights flashing across the screen of your mind, you will notice there are no thoughts there. Is that correct?
Sometimes I feel like someone's punishing me when I try.
No, never mind. Just stay one thing at a time. I know that. I understand all those things. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's take one thing at a time. Now, if you have those lights that you just described as the TV without a picture but little white noise, there are no thoughts there, correct?
Right.
Well, what happened to your thoughts? What happened to your thoughts that talk to you and tell you what to eat, what to do? What happened to them? You tell me. Where they go?
They got extinguished.
They didn't get extinguished, no. You left them behind in your head. You're no longer entangled with them in your head. Your problem is you're tangled up in your thoughts, and your thoughts will talk to you, but another energy is talking to you, and it's not you, it's coming from the outside. It's coming through your emotions. The more emotional you are, the more you're connected to the world. And the more the spirit of the world will control you and make you do these silly things. Make you eat the forbidden fruit. And if you had a piece of fruit...
I muff out even the dark thoughts instead of trying to get them...
No, you need to look at the dark thoughts if they come. When you're ready, it's scared of you. You got yourself mixed up with this other fellow. You're identified with it. It thinks so much through you, you think it's you.
Yeah. Oh,
now, right now, you don't see a dark self. What you see is little pixels moving across the screen of your mind. And the reason why you're seeing that is because you're the light of your inner eye is looking at the surface of your brain. So you're not in your body. You are outside your body. You are in your body, but you're above it, just a smidgen. That is a place where God can come in, and if you just look at the thoughts that eventually want to pop up through some kind of vortex and say and get you caught up in them, just reboot yourself and just start looking at your eyelids again, and the thought is left behind again. It can't come in to mess you up. Now, in order to make this more permanent, if you become aware of your right hand, your first finger, can you be aware of your first finger of your right hand and it tingles while you're looking at your thoughts with all that twinkling going on in your forehead? Can you be aware of your first finger and make it tingle like this by being aware of it? Just be aware of it like you are aware of the middle of your forehead. Be also aware of your first finger of your right hand. Can you do that at the same time?
Yeah, I just did it.
Good. Now move the attention to the next finger and make it tingle. The same way, just by being aware of it, but not any effort. Tell me when you can feel the tingle.
Yeah, I feel it in my thumb. And
yeah, you can make it go through your whole hand till your hand gets warm, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, open your eyes.
Scared and quit, though. That's the thing.
I know. Open your eyes and look around you, and you'll see everything a little brighter.
Yeah, I see it a lot brighter.
I know. But now you're looking at things objectively. And I say that. And now if you take a piece of food, next time you're hungry, do this and hold it up in front of you, the wrong food. I know you'll pick up the wrong food, and actually look at it and be aware of yourself looking at this hand, especially your right hand. And now you will be able to choose. You'll look at this piece of junk you've got in your hand, and you can say to yourself, I think not. And you wouldn't be able to do that otherwise, and you put it down and pick up something different, or not eat at all. That's all, because you are making a decision not to eat the forbidden fruit. That's a spiritual decision. It has remarkable consequences. All right.
Yeah, that's the only way I'm going to be able to beat this addiction.
You do it exactly what I told you. Call me again. All right, be right back. All right, now, I want to say thank you for the donations that came in this week. All of a sudden it came one day and it came flooding in. You know, and they were very generous. Thank you very much. If you will please, all of you new people, I beg you not to listen to what people say. You are psychotic if you judge me by what other people say, or you judge one of the presidential candidates because what people say. Some people will look at Romney and say, "Ooh, he's terrible. What's wrong? He's a beautiful person." I won't tell you what I think of the other one, but you could also see him in a good light too. And perhaps neither one of them are. See, I'm trying to tell you there's a way of looking at things. People getting you to look at a certain thing because of your emotional connection to the world. You must be emotionally disconnected. You must be emotionally connected. It's not an emotion. When you're connected to the inner light, then the emotions are sweet and gentle and almost feelingless. They're effortless like a ballerina. It moves you effortlessly, like a ballerina crossing the stage. When you know something's wrong, when the outside grabs you, and grabs hold of the ends of your nerves and gets you to react, do things you say you're sorry for. Thank you very much for your support. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Thank you.